Welcome to Frontiers of Psychotherapist Development. In this video series and in the podcast as well, what we're going to do is provide you tips of the week. And in all these short episodes, we'll go through one tip at a time. And my idea of giving you this is not so much as to prescribe to you what you should be doing, but to describe possibilities, to give you ideas that can inspire you to create your own ideas in the practice of psychotherapy. So on to this week's one tip. And the tip that we're going to describe is called embodied cognition. So what does this mean? So many years back when I was still working in Singapore, I was working in a psychiatric institution that served both inpatient and outpatient. And I was seeing this one particular client that came to an outpatient service. And, you know, as I worked with him, this was one guy that didn't say much at all in session. And it kept repeating that way. And I kind of reached sort of an impasse. I was stuck with how I can proceed working with him, given that he didn't really talk much. And he kept saying, "Don't know, don't know, don't know," you know. And in a fit of preparatory frustration, I was just trying to figure out a way how to work with him. I decided to sit on his chair. Now, in the layout that we had in the clinics, it was sort of quite fixed in the way the furniture was. And most clients tend to sit on a particular chair and I would sit on another. We would get off from the consulting table and we would sit in those two chairs. So I just had to sit there. And I just took a moment, you know, and I just remembered how he would sit. And I decided to kind of embody that. And then I was just picturing in my memory how he would move his body. And then I realized that he sort of kept doing this, you know, like, you know, kind of a shoulder shrug. And I just found myself playfully just repeating that shoulder shrug. And the thing that came over me, it wasn't sort of a thinking idea, but it was sort of bottom up, not top down. As I did this, you know, I not only felt a kind of surrender, but there was a sense of grief, even kind of a feeling of loss and grief. And I kind of knew a little bit about his background, though there were lots of gaps, given the fact that he didn't really say much. And in the next session, when I saw him, I said this to him, "You know, I know you keep saying, 'I don't know,' but it feels as if something had happened to you, and I don't know what it is. And I feel like something has died within you." And I watched, you know, I kind of looked and see if that made sense at all. But I could see he was really, really holding back a visceral reaction. And he went on to say this, you know, he really hesitated, explained, and he said that, "I think you're going to think that this is nothing to you, you know, and you won't take me seriously." And I said, "Look, I'm open, just explain to me what you're thinking, what happened." And he went on to describe that a few years ago, prior to seeing me, he lost a very close friend. And the thing was, he never met this person. It was someone that he met online when he was just, you know, at a turning to become a young teenager. And he never talked about this because he thought people would think this is so absurd that your very best friend is someone you never met. And he described that he went AWOL, that there was no way to contact him because he was not in the same country. He had no idea what had happened. And he felt really strong about this relationship and he lost somebody really close. And that opened up, a pathway for us to work through with him. And And I'm thinking as well, you know, that connected to a memory I had when I was a participant at a workshop many, many years ago. And one of the things that we had to do was role play, right? And in that role play, I was playing the role of my young nephew. And I just remembered just sitting there as well, getting ready to be him. And I had a lot of visceral reaction to just playing with this nephew that I really cared about. And I sort of remembered how powerful that feeling was, this embodied cognition, this embodied knowing, this felt sense. And, you know, that reminded me as well about this case I was working with, that I felt this way too. So think about this. Even in outside the field of psychotherapy, actors use this, people like Daniel Day-Lewis, they call this method acting, where they get into the role and they stay in an embodied role and helping themselves be that person, not so much as just to act it out intellectually. And I think there's merits for this on this principle of that when you're stuck, embody before thinking about it. Just take a moment to embody your client before proceeding about what to say, how to say, what to intervene, what sort of modalities to think about. Maybe this might be a useful way to help you get past this impasse. For more about this, you might want to read stuff from Eugene Genlin's focusing exercises, which is a really helpful way to just get a sense of embodied felt sense of how you are feeling. But for more ideas about this, I would suggest you check out Annie Murphy Paul's book, The Extended Mind. And this is a really powerful book to thinking outside of our brains and the implication of what this might mean beyond even embodied cognition. But a lot of chapters talk about this. There were three principles that she covered, and one of them was about embodied cognition. So if you're keen, check out her book. So that's all for this week. Tip of the week. I hope you enjoy and stay tuned for more tips of the week as we go through the frontiers. Don't forget to also subscribe to our Frontiers newsletter called The Frontiers Friday, where every Friday we'll provide you 5 recommendations as well. Short, bite-sized newsletter. The links are provided in the video or in the podcast episode below. Thanks for being part of this.